Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Republican Representative Richard Martin. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and maybe a visit from Joe Coy. And now, his favorite Christmas carol is Joe Coy to the World, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Here we are, turning the corner, going into 2018. And we started in 2009, and it's all because you guys listen, and you share, and you tell a friend. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
A churro is nothing but a donut that's here illegally.
Amen.
My favorite joke.
My favorite line.
Ohio Congressman Richard Martin is going to be in a couple of few. Love that guy.
I hope Jazz is okay.
I was going to say, it's amazing that he survived this whole purging of with the accusation.
Well, we'll have to get into it. Yeah. See, because who knows what's out there.
What's coming
he
up
could
next.
Be next.
I want to say we've been around for a long time, and thanks to sponsors like LifeLock, the been with us. Simply Safe's been with us. LifeLock.com, use the promo code Adam. Show them some love, man. It's, again, heading into 2018, man. Protect yourself. You're doing all that online. And then, of course, Simply Safe. Well, protect yourself in the cyber world and protect yourself at home. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Get up and running in a minute. Great stuff. All right. Much to talk about. First things first, did I say hi to Gina Grandball?
Yes,
Ryan?
You sure did.
Okay, good. I went to the Rams game yesterday.
That's right.
That was
Eagles.
Fun. Yeah, brought the kids. Brought Sonny and his friend. Couple things. I'm really narrowing down my kielbasa to brat ratio.
Okay.
Which is when we showed up, we had the suite. And they put the pan out there, and it's got the brats, which are the sort of light-skinned ones, and then the kielbasa, hot doggy kielbasa, right. But they're red.
Yeah.
Paprika. Yeah. Paprika, as you say it out here. Paprika, as my grandfather would say one. And so when I showed up, I'm all about the ratio. When I showed up, there are four or five just the brats. And we're about half hour late, so somebody ostensibly got to it before we did. But just the light-skinned brats there. And Mike and I helped ourselves to a couple and this and the other. But at some point, they brought the red ones out. They brought the kielbasa-y. Not as big as traditional kielbasa, right. But somewhere between a kielbasa and a hot dog. And everyone dove on those, okay. Right?
Huh.
And our suite was also attached to a suite that had the exact same amenities. And a weird system, which is we're in the end zone and there's like a bar before you go into the suites at the end that everyone can use. And then once you go into the suites, you're sort of in your suite.
Were you down at field level?
Yeah, down at field level. And they had this weird thing, which is Mike and I at some point went to like the bar. And then instead of coming into our suite,
we went to the suite next to ours. And when we were doing that, the guy was like, hello,
excuse you.
You can't go. That's your suite. That's our suite. And Mike's like, oh, okay. So Mike and I walked through our suite, then made a left and turned back into their suite and helped ourselves all their food because it's wide open. It's like a fork at the end. There's tight security at the beginning, but once you get in the end, you're in general pop, and you're free to just walk in anyone's suite, and there's no enforcement of it, which is weird.
It's a poorly managed suite setup, not like, you know, Jerry World or any, you know, real stadium for the NFL where there's, you know, luxury boxes and stuff. Right. This is sort of a corral.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's nice to meet with other people. It's nice to carouse. Eric Dickerson was there and so on and so forth. But it was just weird that they had this rule, like, no, you're not coming in here, and then we just walked around. Me. 12 feet later, you just make a left and you're standing in the middle of their suite eating their food.
The right way.
I noticed at a certain point after everyone went through our kielbasa, I decided to go to the other suite and get their kielbasa. That was all gone as well. So then it came to the point where they're like four or five brats rolling around, ours four or five brats. And then it dawned on me. Yes, people could never statistically like something exactly in half.
Yeah.
There, if you own a hotel and you go one decaf, one regular coffee, that's impossible statistically that everyone who comes through here is going to like one half as much or exactly. Well, the guy who uses the room on a Monday, he wants decaf. The guy who comes on Tuesday, he wants regular. The guy who comes on Wednesday, he wants
it's
decaf. It's impossible. So I don't care what it is. I don't care if you put brats out or you do the coffee or you're a prostitute. You're not going to just, it's not going to be a sex, you know, blowjob to intercourse. Right. It's not going to be 50-50. Nothing can ever be 50-50. Why do we go 50-50 if it can't be 50-50? So all I want is the person that's in charge of those things to start working the ratio. Yep. Every time they come there, they're out of the one and there's four left of the other. Then don't have the 50-50. They'll never do it. No one ever gets fired for 50-50, and no one ever cares. And here's the other thing. Eventually, people get drunk and screw the ratio up. Because eventually, people get drunk and they go, well, it's not the one I want, but I'm drunk and I'm eating.
So at the end of the day, it's free. They're all gone.
Yeah. They're all gone. Yeah. That's how it works.
I have to admit, I'm a little confounded. I certainly don't mean to shit on your point, but there is nothing better to me than a brat. So I can't believe that that's what was being left on the table.
Brats are sounds good.
My favorite thing.
Kielbasa, a little better.
A little better.
Maybe I need to try kielbasa again.
No, brat. People like saying brat, and they like saying a couple of beers and some brats.
Yeah,
beer and kielbasa, no alliteration there. So like beers and brats and stuff like that. But the reality is if you take a sausage-esque offering, and one is that very light, pale, kind of fleshy grayish color, and the other's that deep reddish, brownish hue.
More savory.
More spicy, people go for that one. And we learned it when we were at Kramer Chuck's that, as I was explaining to you guys a few weeks before when we were in Minneapolis, same thing. It's just, it's a little better. Look, brats are great, and brats are a lot better than an Oscar Mayer hot dog or a Dodger dog or anything like that. We're not talking about good and lousy. We're talking about good and better. We got a little more than a hair split, but it's better.
I barely know that analogy at all, so give me a break.
Well, I mean, to me, splitting hairs means there's really not much of a difference between two.
Do you get it, Brian?
I know people, so Gary, put it.
Why would you split a hair? It's a precious, precious follicle.
Commodity.
Yeah, sorry. It sounds like an attack.
But if you threw them both on a grill.
Let's go with the pubes.
Okay,
with the nice char on them, on a grill, so they're not just gray, you still go for the kielbasa?
They are grilled before they bring them out, pretty much.
I don't like the boiled.
You could. Yeah, you could. Hey, look, it's, again, one is, in my mind, one's a 7, the other's a 9.5 or something like that.
To my point, it's week 14. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have it dialed in by now. Yeah. You've had...
No one ever dials it in. No one ever dials it in. And again, and by the way, the person who's doing it is not eating it. So cry me a river, rich guy.
Get it out of your kitchen as fast as you can.
So it was fun. We were down on the field. It was it was one of those. I don't know if you guys always feel this way, but you guys tell me, and maybe just everyone just walks through life feeling this way, but almost all the action took place on the other side.
I mean, all the
field goals and all the touchdowns. There was like one short pass that took place on our side, like a run. But most of the point scoring and most of the action was on the other side. This, the touchdown at the end that, you know, put it over the right. The spread, the field goal at the end. Like, most of it took place 120 yards from us.
Yeah, that happened to me and Matt when we were sitting in the end zone.
A couple weeks ago, we'll the roll the dice.
Right.
Hold on.
This is the gambling equivalent, and I've had this happen many times, and that's why I don't gamble. You sit down at the blackjack table, and somewhere around the time the person to your right is going on their third blackjack, mm-hmm. and the person to your left already has two, and you have zero,
yeah.
and you were sitting there before they sat next to you, you start going, wait a minute. This isn't me making this up. You're just sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, if I'm doing the math correctly of where I was watching the game, it's a great game between two really good teams. If I'm doing the math correctly of where it happened, you were in the end zone where Carson Wentz, the biggest play of the day on all football, Carson Wentz blew out his ACL.
Yes.
I think that was your end zone.
That was my end zone.
Not the action you're probably looking for, because it was called back.
Just a sadness.
No, and he was going. He was away from. He was going away. We were sort of in the corner a little bit. But look, it was all great. Well, we had a drink, had some brats. Kids loved it.
I was barking.
It's brutal, but whatever. We had a pass. It was fine. I also had a very kind of Larry David moment, which is when we're going in. Now, of course, everyone's got to go through security and all that kind of stuff. And there's this thing where in this day and age, people are unfamiliar with the, you know, take your pocket, mm-hmm. clear your pockets out, put your keys in the bed. Like the guys in front of you, is like, you're waiting in line for 25 minutes, and then the guy gets in front of the line, he's completely caught off guard.
A new refresher for everything.
Right. Yeah. So you tell
him. Explain to me from the beginning.
Swords no good, or swords have to go through a detector, or what about a mace, a ball and chain? Come on, buddy, you've been in line the entire time.
I don't know if you'd call this a switchblade or a butterfly knife, but it would have to put it in the.
It fits in my pocket.
This is like the guy who's waiting in line at the ATM, and then he gets the ATM, and then he starts reaching for his wallet. Right. Like, oh, okay. Oh, where? Picture of my granddaughter. Oh, she's cute. I should call her. Like, no, come on. Be fully prepped and fully ready to go through that thing.
Right.
You can move this thing 45% faster if everyone who gets there already has their keys and whatever in their hand, and it's going in the thing. But they never really are there.
I experience this
six times a year for the USC games, man. It's the same thing every week.
And because it's the Coliseum, are people still doing the whole Ziploc bag and clear bag thing?
They didn't
clear
do
bag
it.
Policy.
They didn't do it there. They did. It was funny because Mike will yell at anybody. We literally had what appeared to be a homeless guy in front of us. He just had that real, you know, no teeth, sunken
barely
cheeks,
together,
kind of really homelessy. And he was like standing there, and he started like pulling out wads of Kleenex and stuff from his pocket. And it's like the game had started. Like you could hear the crowd cheering and a touchdown scored and blah, blah, blah. And we're like all out there. The kids are going nuts. And this guy's like pulling out wads of paper. And he's like, and they're like, sir, everything. And he's like, pull out another wad of Kleenex. Oh. And Mike's like, would you get the hell out of here? Like Mike's just like, get him out. Get him. Look, we're not experimenting here. Like, if the guy can't do it, then pull him out of line or get him to the back of the line. Like, you can't just stand there confused pulling Kleenex out of your pocket.
Mike is all of our ids. He's what we want to say.
Yeah.
He's all of our ids. I had a great Mike August conversation about the Brady rule, about the Tuck rule. Before there's a Brady law, that's a handgun thing,
and then
there's a Brady bill, and then there's a Tuck rule.
Right.
But and they're calling it the Duck rule. But I was I said, and I've said it a million times. What is the origins of this rule? Why does it exist? How does it come to be? Most rules, they have a rule. One of the games ended. It was
about the Brady rule, the Tuck rule.
Well, here's what I'm saying is they have there was a play called the Holy Roller.
Ooh,
the Holy Roller. Well, back to the Raiders, Kenny the Snake Anderson were playing like San Diego or something, and they were down. They needed a touchdown. It's the last play of the game, and he was basically in the grass, running for his life. Defenders all over him. He couldn't even throw the ball, so he just rolled it. Like he just chucked it forward. He essentially just fumbled it forward, and he fumbles it forward.
Technically legal because you can fumble the ball.
Right.
Why would you?
At that time, it was fumbling, like intentionally fumbling, and he fumbles the ball forward. And Dave Casper, the tight end, like, gets hold of the ball around the 10-yard line, but instead of picking it up, he sort of keeps kicking it forward. Like, he's kicking it.
Well, if you see the play, it was definitely in the – it was not planned.
Well, no, the play wasn't planned, but Stabler was planned.
Oh, yeah.
Stabler was like, if I take the sack, the game's over, so I'm just going to roll it forward. And Casper may have been, so he just chucked it forward. And then Dave, like, throws it. Oh, Marv Hubbard or somebody throws it forward. And then Casper's, like, kicking it, falling on it. So you got to let the announcer go because he tells Manning his big fat butt off the field.
Impossible dream of a play. Stabler. While being hit, the ball squirted forward.
I could definitely use some yakety sack.
He doesn't believe it. Nobody can believe it. Man, get
your
big
butt on the field.
Get your big butt on the
field.
That's right. That's great. So, in their wisdom, the NFL made a rule. Like, you can't throw the ball. You can't run. You can't just throw it like dice into the end zone. That gives you a 50-50 chance of scoring when you're being sacked, you know? So there's a kind of, and they do, they did, God, if it was a Green Bay, not the Green Bay game, there was a game last week where they did the runoff, they stripped the quarterback, the ball squirted out of bounds, and they did the 10-second runoff. They made a lot of rules that basically said, like, if the game's over and you're like going to get sacked in the field of play, the clock's going to keep running. So if you just shoot the ball out of bounds, it'll stop. So people start doing that. Right. They start figuring out the rules. So even now they strip the guy. God, what game was that, Gary? I can't think of it.
I'm trying to figure it out, too. I saw that game.
And the ball squirted out of bounds. They still run it off. Anyway, what they're attempting to do is stop people from cheating.
Sure.
I still haven't figured out the tuck rule.
Yeah.
The tuck rule is if you're passing and your arm is in motion and the guy hits your hand but your arm is in motion, it's an incomplete pass. Right. If it's still on your hand and you're just holding up, then it is a fumble. Mm. The thing I can't figure out about the tuck rule is who said we need this rule? What is it that was happening?
Yeah, that rule was around,
the precedent?
That rule was around for as far as I know it, many, many, many years and was never enacted because it's such a rare random. So what the play is, Gina, like if you're pump faking, right? You're pump faking, right. So you're going to throw the ball on the field, but you're faking it. Tom Brady, young in his career, second year in the league, pumps it as he's pulling it back into his body like a pump fake.
Right.
It gets knocked out of his hand.
Oh.
Pretty clearly a fumble to everyone, but because he was tucking it back into his body from a
fake, that's
considered a pass attempt, and they said it was an incomplete pass.
Well, because he was intentionally faking them out.
Well, I don't even know if they say it's an incomplete pass. They just go, it's a tuck rule, but maybe it is.
It's an incomplete pass because it would have been a fumble if the Raiders recovered. Michigan was the one who...
Woodson.
Woodson was the one who knocked it out.
Right, so...
And the,
but the question
recovered.
I'd ask Mike August 33 times is, why is the rule necessary? Who thought of the rule? Who thought to put the rule in since this thing had never happened? It was either his arm is in motion, incomplete pass, or he had the ball and he got stripped.
Did you
and
just
now
get
it's a fumble. And he just kept going, Brady. Ooh. Brady and the Patriots is the reason we have the tuck rule. It's the reason we know the tuck rule because it happened in that game. And I kept going, like, I'm not asking if it happened or not. I'm saying
what necessitated that rule?
Why was it a rule? Nobody has been able to answer this question to me. I'm always, we don't have to see it, Gareth.
You didn't just get an email back from him that said K?
No, he just kept explaining to me. He just kept explaining to me.
Restating,
we'd heard of it and how it pertained
to that moment.
Again,
like, I know why we know of it.
Right. Now, Gary's looking for the play. It didn't matter. It was one of the games yesterday. The quarterback was running through the sideline. He got stripped from behind the ball. The ball skipped out of bounds.
That was a Sunday night game.
Yeah,
It was a Sunday night game. Yeah. All right. No, I don't think it was during the game. Maybe it wasn't. Anyway, they just ran the clock off because you can't fumble it out of bounds. Anyway. You know the part where, you guys tell me if you get a lot of this, where I get this with Mike August, like, what do you think I'm asking? I'm not saying, please tell me about this tuck rule as it pertains to the Patriots, because I'm well aware of that. I want to know why it's on the books and why somebody was at an NFL competition committee during the offseason and then they raised their hand. And I like to think I got the goalpost, the uprights raised.
Sure. I think it's pretty agreed that you did.
And I would have raised my hand and went, why? because these guys are sidewinders. They're good from 63 yards now. And when they kick 28-yard field goals, the ball goes right over the top. We've had it happen many times. Here are a whole bunch of examples of that throughout the years. And if we simply extend it, we can lessen that by quite a margin. And then someone would go, okay, the tuck rule, I don't know how I would explain that. We're having a rash of what? Fumbles or incomplete passes versus
one that looks like the other and vice versa. We were not clear this out.
I don't know how that one was sold, but I was trying to get an answer to it. Mike had nothing except for to point me back to the game with the Patriots.
My understanding was that it was an obscure rule that was around for years and rarely, if ever, enforced because that's such a bang bang play. That have you ever seen that play before? I've never seen that play before.
Well, the thing about the play, well, the rule. Mm-hmm. See, we've seen the play a million times. Right. The play is an A or a B, and they've entered a C. It's A, you're passing the ball, and it's not a fumble, or B, you had the ball, and it is a fumble. There is no room for a C. Right. There shouldn't be a C, but they've inserted one. Are. Something between small and medium, they inserted a size
small
in there that
half.
Doesn't fit anybody, and nobody wants it. So in the department of people giving you answers, which I say to them all the time, if that's truly what I'm asking, or truly what you think I'm asking, then you must think I'm insane. Right. I'm an insane person. I'll challenge anyone to do better than this one. I bought a van. We needed at the other shop a production van.
Okay.
My friend, who does a lot of wheeling and dealing, bought some vans from Forest Lawn. The Forest Lawn vans. Oh. It's just like a white GMC
haunted.
Van.
Not cursed.
Using to move Nana around, you know, to her final resting place and stuff like that. But it's like it's kind of Blues Brothers-y, which is like low mileage, always maintained.
Cop shacks, cop struts, cop brakes.
Yeah, always taken care of and everything. And so it's like for $5,000, you get a nice van with low mileage and blah, blah, blah. So I got
the souls of the departed.
That's right. I got the van with low mileage on it, and got a call or got a mention from contacted by my friend Doug. He used to work for Stone Stanley. I think Scott Stone, who was over there, did Love Line and blah, blah, blah. He just sent a nice email to Doug saying, like, he's cleaning out a storage facility. Would Adam like his Love Line chair?
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
That's cool.
Yeah.
From the TV show?
Yeah. I don't think about that stuff that often, but we did, like, 400 episodes, and that was my chair, and Drew's got his chair, and I do have my man show chair.
Ooh, look nice right next to you.
And I was like, yeah, I never even thought about it, but I was like, oh yeah, I'll take that chair. And they said, fine, come pick it up. And I said, great. And then I thought, hey, let's take the van.
Yeah, take the corpse van.
We got the dually, and it's a big old diesel truck and everything, and it's a big load. And I said, just take the van. So this one, and when you guys start paying for stuff, this is the hardest. This is the worst.
Seems like a very simple transaction. Pick up the chair.
Yeah.
Seems like it, but I'll tell you. Now, you have to imagine yourself paying, right?
All right.
First,
I'm very disappointed.
I'll tell you about LifeLock, man. Holiday shopping. From your mobile device. Scammers steal your credit card, your info, other data with the phony retail apps. Only download the apps from reputable stores and read reviews for complaints about malware. You got to watch out. 1 in 4 people experience identity theft, and it's going to be more than that. This is the new look. We already know all the stuff out of Russia and everything else, and China and everything. Everything's going to get hacked into. So if you're just monitoring your credit, your identity can still be stolen in ways you may not detect. Thieves could sell your information onto the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. Don't let that happen. Get LifeLock. They detect a wide range of identity threats. If you have a problem, their U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. It is the best. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss. Join now and get 10% off with promo code Adam and call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam. That's Adam to save 10% now.
All right. So here's how you get rich. You say, hey, where's the thing? It's in West Hollywood or over the hill or something like that. Good. Tell Gary, not half-tard, full-tard at the other shop. Tell him to get in the van and go pick up the chair.
Easy.
Good enough.
30-minute round trip,
yeah.
Right?
Conditions? Or something like that. Yeah, maybe a little more, yeah. But fine. And then at a certain point, you get the call. The van's broken down.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Where's Gary? He's next to the warehouse where the chair is. Oh. Right. Is he there? No. Can he get there? No. Can we get the chair from there to him? No. What are we going to do? We got to tow the truck back to the valley,
Jesus.
Minus the chair. And of course, you know, you got to pay Gary, and he's just an innocent victim here. And so he's on the clock the whole time we get the thing back. But at a certain point, the thing just died. I'm curious, is it the battery? Is it the alternator? Is it the starter? Is it the solenoid? And also, I'm not sure how we're towing, like what the towing. So I'm sort of going through Rob at the other shop, and I go, we're towing. Do we have AAA? I don't know if I have AAA. Do we have AAA? No, Gary's got something. I don't know what Gary's got. Well, Gary can figure it out. All right, so Gary will get the thing. Yeah, yeah. Gary will handle it. And at a certain point, I'm standing on Friday at back my shop. The gate opens. A big diesel flatbed. With the van sitting on top of the van on top, it's 12 feet high, you know,
large.
It's right on top. Big van, big full size van, chained down and everything. The guy's backing up, like, neep, neep, neep. Big things coming at me. It's blocking my car in. Big diesel engine shaking, flatbed and whatnot. And it's sitting up there, like, neep, neep. The guy's stopping it. And he's getting all the rigging with the chains and getting ready to use the hydraulic thing and like lower the thing down and stuff. And I'm standing behind the van with Gary. And I said, "Hey, who'd we go for? Who'd we go with to tow the van?" And he paused, and he pointed at the flatbed. And he said, "These guys."
Mm-hmm.
Now, no logos or anything. Just literally pointing at a flatbed with my van on it, and I'd been standing back there watching it with him the whole time. In his mind, I'm asking what's going on or
what is this sorcery?
What is this? I feel like I get a lot of those answers, and I don't think that anyone could ever be serious. Like, he was serious. Now, of course, I'm saying, is it through your insurance company?
Right.
Do you have AAA? Do I owe you money?
By
do
what
we
means?
Use my thing? But I didn't want to say by what means, even though that may not have helped either. I did a little shorthand since we're both standing behind the flatbed with my van on it. When I go, who'd you get to tow this? Obviously, it's these guys. This is fairly clear because they're backing with my van up my driveway in reverse.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming everyone would like me to either shut up and or die or both. Like, I think everything is just... But I would prefer next time they just go, shut up. You know what I mean? I go, who'd we get to tow the van? Die. Because I get a lot of, like, I get a lot of guys going, I get guys like leaning against the shovel. They'll be like lean, they'll be holding a shovel and they'll go, we got a flathead and we got a spade head. We got two shovels. And I'll go, okay, where's the other shovel? And then they'll hold the one up they're holding and go, you mean this one?
Shut up.
And I'll go, no, the one that I'm not staring at.
Right.
Shut up.
You said there were two, and I'm looking at one of them. So when I say, where's the other shovel, I'm talking about not the one that I'm staring at. But
process of elimination.
Did you mean this one is probably the wrong answer? But instead, you can just say die or shut up and die, like, or go away or do something. Because I'm assuming that's just what everyone is saying. Or otherwise, they just... people also just have a way of answering that's just like, I'm going to let something fly out of my mouth and
yes.
Hopefully that'll be enough for you.
It'll stick.
Do what you do with your dog at the park with the tennis ball, where it's like, hey, you want something? Yeah, oh, go get it. It's just like, chuck the ball. I was like standing, and I never know how much to break it down. Like, we use these guys. Do you think that's what I'm asking? I'm the sanest guy on the planet. What is it you possibly think I want to know about? We're going to get run over by these guys if we don't move. So what?
You ever tend to just play along? Be like, oh, good.
Well, that clears that up.
Well, I almost always do.
Lunchtime.
Which is good, which is always confusing to the guys. I'm always like, oh, these guys. Fantastic.
Oh,
well, now I know who it is.
I've heard good things.
It's weird when it happens, but it's weird when the thing's making a big noise and the diesel engine is purring and the guys are backing up and the thing's 10 feet off the ground. It adds
a lot going on.
A lot going on.
So what was the damage on that? That couldn't have been free.
Could have been
to tow that thing.
The towing, then you have to pay Gary, then now it's have to pull the battery out.
Where's the chair?
Needs a new battery. Needs never did get the chair. Aww. Never did get the chair. That's how you get rich. That is how you get rich, people. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. What are we going to play when we come back? We got blah, blah, blah.
We can play some blah, blah, blah. Ooh. Yeah, if you like.
Yeah. And I forgot there's some phone calls. I forgot there's a Bonaducci story I forgot about yesterday. All right. Right after this.
Every fucking time I throw a party on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, I have to get up and empty 2,600 fucking beers that I swear no one's even taken a fucking draw off of. You know that thing where you're just dumping beer and you're like, there are people in Africa who aren't even buzzed right now. Sorry, I get emotional. I do.
It's Christmas time. The season when we get real drunk. At Christmas time, we get fucked up and then upchuck. And at our office parties, nail interns in the cobbler throw up in potted plants at Christmas time. But when you drink, drink a drink for the Africans. At Christmas time, you get shit-faced. Meanwhile, they have none. There's a world across the ocean, a world without wine or beer, where the only buzz they have is the flies around their ears, and the only happy ones there are at Oprah's School for Girls. Well, tonight get smashed and thank God as you hurl, 'cause there won't be booze in Africa this Christmas time. Just diseases, famine, civil war and strife.
Banks, everybody. Mike Lynch. All right. Couple things to finish. First off, a thought I forgot. I said a very Larry David moment when we're waiting in security line to get into the Coliseum. At some point, we stopped again, and a guy in a wheelchair got pushed in front of us. Mm-hmm. Here's my sort of Larry David
August
take.
Yelled at him.
He wanted
get
to.
Up and walk.
Well, can we agree that there's a difference between being in a wheelchair because you have cerebral palsy and one where you ate it wakeboarding at Lake Havasu last weekend, and now you're in a wheelchair because you got the boot on? Like, yeah. That, I don't need that dude going in front of me. That right. Dude, A, is having more fun than me, generally. Number two, you took a tumble on your mountain bike while I was at work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now you get to slide in front for the Rams game. And my thing is, like, if you did this to yourself, attempting to have fun, right. You don't get cutsies.
Yeah, you've not been line. Cruelly selected by life.
Yeah, that was your choice.
Yeah, that was your, you were trying a move on a snowboard that you hadn't quite perfected, and now you get to cut in front of me.
You went goofy foot.
Let's not just put wheelchair. It's not all just wheelchair and wheelchair. I need to be, you know, stricken by God versus went Sonny Bono on a snowboard. Because that's you. That's even worse because that's you now out having fun while we're paying taxes, and now you're cutting in front of me.
Sonny was pretty messed up. To be honest.
So the Bonaducci story.
He ended up in a new van.
Yeah,
oh,
God.
Brian.
The Bonaducci story was from yesterday, which is the opposite.
How not to do improv.
Yes, Brian was there, but
well, I don't know the story, but you teased it.
I was screaming
about tipping and about how all these, you know, hot 23-year-old cocktail waitresses don't need to walk with $300 cash every night. They could walk with $100 cash and I'd be fine with me and whatever it is. And I was like saying, you know, you have to tip the guy at the Starbucks, you have to tip the guy at the restaurant, you have to tip. And also bringing out a plate of sushi versus at a high-end sushi place versus bringing out a Denver omelet at Denny's is the exact same amount of work.
Right.
One of them you just get paid 10 times as much to do. So I don't care. And it's not a skill and I have no sympathy for it at all. And if anyone is a waitress or waiter and they pay you too well, they're going to keep you there. You should just get enough to get by and then get a goddamn career. But anyway, I said, you go to the Home Depot, you tell the old guy that you need 100 feet of anchor chain and he has to get the rolling three-way ladder. He's get the pyramid-shaped ladder. And yeah, he has
there's
to
a physical effort there.
On wheels on it. He's got to like climb up. Hike. He's got to pull it out. He's got to like measure it. Yeah. Then he's got to roll it up, A-frame ladder, and then get down. He's got to roll it up. Right. Then he's got to label it, and he hands it to you. That guy doesn't get a nickel. You don't tip that guy. To which Bonaducci said, I do.
Mm. All the times Danny goes to the Home Depot.
I don't think he's ever been to Home Depot. But secondly, thank you for crapping on this point. But no, you never have. And you've crapped on the point, which is if you have done it, according to the groundlings, you still don't say anything.
I remember just going, okay,
this is going to be hard to do.
You know, I think he's been in the Home Depot. I think he gets the rivets and the studs for all of his jeans.
That's true. I think. I think he gets it online, bro. All right. Phone calls here.
Hey, as long as we're on the subject of tipping, can I just run this by you and get? Mm-hmm. I tipped an amount. I want to see if it was. You guys tell me what the appropriate amount would be. I have to mention, we took Christy's parents out on Saturday night to Vito in West LA. It's a nice restaurant.
I like that place.
It's a nice place. Yeah. We took them there early to the 5:30.
Very old school.
Yes, a very old school. It was old school Italian place. I took them out to the 5:30.
Is that the one with the train?
No, that's Mateo's.
Mateo's.
And this is another one called Vito's.
I wouldn't call it a hole in the wall, but it's like career waiters,
old
red bank
hats.
They've
been there for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wearing the bow ties.
Tuxedo, yeah. It's great.
So to say thank you for watching Tessa when she was sick and when Christy was out of town, when I was out of town for the cruise, we said, oh, we'll take you guys out for dinner. It's on us. We'll bring Tessa. Because, you know, of all of us there, and it'll be
that's
fine.
That's who they want to see.
Exactly. That's who they want to see more of. And she wasn't bad, but she's 14 months old, and she was a 14-month-old.
Fussy.
She was a little fussy, restless, you know, drawing on the paper, drawing on the waiter, you know, crayons and stuff on the paper. Food, not agreeing, you know, not enthusiastic about the food, just being fussy and a handful.
Being a toddler.
Yes, not out of control, but a handful. So by the end, there was food on the ground, food on the blah, blah, blah. And by the end, I decided, on a $200 bill, what is an appropriate tip amount? Because the waiters were picking up rolls of bread that she was throwing on the ground, and they were, you know, getting, you know, picking up this and that she would drop. She knocked over a glass at one point.
Oh, terrible.
Not knocked over.
She drunk?
She just reached out and swats it, you know, water spills and stuff. So
I would say I normally do 20%. Unless it's a low amount, in which case I'll just round up something.
Let's say it was $220 was the bill.
I'll tell you this: if it was $200 and you're going 20%, then that'd be $40, and I'd give a $50 tip. I'd pop it up a little from the 40% or the 20%. That would be about me. I'd say $50.
I'm with you. My initial response was whatever the bill is at 15, but that's around $10-$15.
Okay. Well, I overcompensated.
Good.
Whatever the bill is.
Yeah. I assumed it was going to be, you know, 200 to 180.
Will you add
whatever.
10 or 15?
Yeah. To whatever you were going to tip, add another $10, another $15.
Oh, to whatever you're going to tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just for their troubles.
A little bit. I give them 70, but I think it was because we go there regularly.
Oh.
I didn't want to be that couple that gets
no
you know,
table for you.
I didn't want a note in the reservation system.
Good, and also it's a little. You got to go a little bit for Tessa, and you got to go a little bit for the month of December holiday thingy.
Yeah.
If that's in June, not so much.
Because we were surrounded by families that were kids and whatever that were doing obviously holiday dinners and things like.
There's also a thing where I will try to go up and round over, like if that. We're me, and we're coming in at 227 or something. Mm-hmm. I just try to get to $300.
That's pretty much
that's
what I do.
That's what
I do. Can I ask you this? Now it doesn't matter because I'm not there anymore. But at the parking garage for the radio station I worked at for 3 years, I never tipped the valet, the parking attendant that I always waved to and chit-chatted with. I parked my own car and left every day and just always waved. Was I supposed to tip him?
Guy or girl?
Older man.
Give him a bottle of booze at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm always bad.
I didn't know what to – and honestly, I don't know if this is – if it's insulting. I don't know who it's insulting to – give cash to. I don't know. Is that weird?
No. Cash is never insulting to anybody.
I wouldn't
anybody
be insulted if anyone gave it to
does
me.
Does anything to do with a car.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay. Tristan, 19, Oklahoma.
Hi, Adam.
What's going on?
So, I have a story about my senior English class. I'm currently a freshman in college, so it was just a few months ago. It was towards the end of the year. Everything was winding down, so my teacher was going around the room saying, you know, what are your plans? And so, it eventually came around to me, and I said, I want to go to school for computer science and eventually start a business. And my teacher responded with, oh, so you want to be rich.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it would be nice, but I would like to have a business and grow it as successfully as I can. And he said, kids, it's time someone tells you the truth. You know that phrase where people say, you know, if you just work hard, eventually you'll be where you want to be? Everyone that's telling you that, that you're hearing that from, those are the people that made it. He said, you're not hearing from the thousands of times many more people that didn't make it. The chances of you being super successful, very, very slim. You're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
Jesus.
And so I could tell you what I said to
him.
But horrible.
I want to know. He's probably been listening to too many of Pocahontas' speeches over there. It's Elizabeth Warren. Right?
Yeah.
I'm all for making fun of that bitch, by the way, with her lying or whatever she is about her indigenous whatever.
You mean, is she not
future president Elizabeth Warren?
Well, she won't. Here's what I like. I'm always like this. Look, you say you didn't kill your wife? Good. Let's take a lie detector test. You say you're one whatever Comanche Indian? Good. We'll do a DNA test.
I'd rather not.
No. Doesn't want to do it.
I lost my 23andMe.
Please. I hate everybody. So, hey, Tristan.
What'd you say?
What'd you say? And then I'll tell you what I'd say. Or my theory.
I said, well, one, what experience do you have in trying to start a business? You're a teacher. You're not an AP teacher. You're just a teacher. You're a football coach, a wrestling
damn!
Coach. And shots he was he was very clearly upset about the fact that people that want to be successful and he's not. And I said, what gives you the right to stand in front of these kids with dreams and just tell them, oh, you're probably not going to be successful because you chose not to take that route, is essentially what I said to him.
I love you, Tristan. And let me say, you cannot have a system where there are a whole bunch of vegetarians. All the high school teachers and college teachers, they're all vegetarians. And somebody goes, I'm going to go out for a Philly cheesesteak. And you go, enjoy. It's impossible. It's impossible to say you're not going to take a little of your thinking, a little of your will, a little of your philosophy and try to graft it on. Because these are young students. You're there to
mold
and
inspire, direct.
Now that I drill down on high school, junior high, and college, most of these people are losers who've tapped out of life. Not tapped out of life, but okay. I'm gonna round up and say 10% of people who are there because they're heroes, they wanna mold youth, they're passionate about what they do. And they could have worked in the corporate world, you know, the same percentage of attorneys that work for the DA who could have been wildly successful on their own with big companies that made oodles of money, but they decided to stay in there and slug it out pro bono or almost pro bono for the young single mother who was done wrong or the gangbanger who could have gotten his third strike, whatever. There are those people. There are those people.
The exception.
This country's not set up to take those people and have them do that. It's set up to have them become Mark Garagus. So I will back out the now rounding up 10% of teachers, faculty, administration who are there for all the right reasons. Simply focus on the 90% who said, look, you have to work for a living. Their parents weren't rich, let's say. You have to work for a living. Now, would you like something that is guaranteed, locked in, comfortable? You'll never want, you'll never be rich, you'll never be poor. You'll have a lot of spare time. You have a lot of free time. There'll be a lot of half-day Fridays and a lot of Martin Luther King days and present days. And you'll forget about summer vacation. The entire summer will be a vacation. You can lock it in. People call you a hero. You'll get a strong union out of it. But you never have to really go try. You never have to get out into the open world and fill out resume, hand out resumes and try to make your way up the corporate ladder, whatever. Good. Now that's 90% of people that inhabit these campuses. And you think they're going to sit around and be shamed by guys like Tristan, especially when they're 52 years old. And it's basically their lantern has about a teaspoon of whale oil left in it, and then it's going to burn out, and they will have been losers, and you're going off to make your mark. How many of them are going to sit back and be shamed? The number one emotion I realize with everybody is shame. The thing that motivates everybody is shame. The thing that triggers everyone, the thing that brings out anger. You could say to most women, oh, you know, you're dumb or you're a bitch or you're whatever. You say bad mom, they'll go nuts, especially if they have some of those kernels of thoughts like, drinking a Chardonnay while the kid was watching TV the other day and I just kind of planned on it. When you see people go nuts, it's when you strike something, the shame thing. So, Tristan, how can this go any other way? This is just a whole crap load of people have tapped out of life, taken a very easy road, and then you're going to tell them about your hopes and dreams, and they're going to want to dash them. And there could be, and from a philosophical standpoint, of course it's going to turn into unions and the system is rigged and all this kind of stuff, because first off, how do they know the system's rigged? They've never been in the system. Sorry, Tristan.
Tristan,
I completely agree with you.
And Tristan, I love how you went specific and said you're not even an AP teacher. You're just a regular teacher.
I like that.
Yeah, the teachers that you're talking about, they're in that 10%. Most of those are teaching the AP classes, and they're in with the kids that are wanting to really turn their lives into something, and they want to see these kids be successful. They want to have the kids come back and say, thank you so much for what you taught me. And then there's the teachers that are hired to be coaches, and they're required to teach a class by state law. And they just hate being there.
I had them all. Mr. Gregory, Mr. Swanson, Mr. Diliberti, Mr. Tomey. I had an Asian counselor who was still lazy. Jesus Christ, what kind of draw is that?
Tristan's teacher said something that was kind of true. Tristan said something like, you only hear the success stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of true, but ultimately it's wrong because those are the people we listen to. We listen to the successful ones. Right. We're inspired by, we're drawn to, we want to be like.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's how you mirror yourself.
Like right, but you're missing the point.
Don't listen to Adam. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people are failures, but you don't want to listen to them. You're not trying to emulate.
Thanks, Tristan. Brett, 34 in Wisconsin.
Hi. Just a second. Sorry.
Okay. Just got to Mark Maron.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Adam, I have undertaken a little science experiment I thought you might appreciate. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Kind of by your showering habits and relationship with germs and how we're, if somebody peanut allergies and everyone's covered in Purell now.
It's all
I've
bad.
Kind of taken until,
there's a new thing. So now it's getting cold. It's hot during the day out here, but it's still getting cold at night.
Yeah,
and the cold shower and the cold swimming pool really kicking
it's
into
tall order.
Kicking in overdrive now. But taking the cold shower and then I go hot shower after that, and then I begin my day. But go ahead, Brett.
Okay. I work in like an office environment. You know, we have coffee every day, and I was like, why do I need to wash this coffee mug out every single day? I mean, I just fill it with more coffee the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm taking it just kind of drinking it and just leaving it at my desk the next, and then just refilling it the next day. I haven't washed it in like 6 months.
Oh, man.
And yeah. I'm not getting sick. You know, I played in dirt as a kid and all that. I have a pretty healthy immune system. I don't think I'm going to get sick.
No, you're not.
I mean, should I cease and desist? Should I continue?
No, I kind of like,
crime.
As a guy who likes and is insane about rinsing out coffee mugs, I kind of like where you're at. Once everything dries, it's dead. When it's dry, it's dead. It's got to be moist for you to get the germs. No, expose yourself to as many germs as you possibly can. It's all fine. And you also have to know, too, everybody, with all your weirdness, talking about brats. You take the brat.
Back to brats.
Delish.
Back to brats. You take the brat out. Then you take the bun out. The bun, can I say this? If you're going to do a first-class experience, you got to have the buns in a warmer.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They can't be that room temperature.
No, no,
they get crusty and they break in half when you try to open them up.
Malleable.
You got to have just a little water and a little moisture and a little steam going. Okay. Anyway, you put the brat. By the time you get the brat, you got the bun. You got the relish. You got the onions. You got the mustard. You got whatever the condiments are. Right? Where's all that stuff come from? Where's it all been? How many human hands and mouths as it passed by? Just the fact that the buns are sitting there, they're torn open. Somebody picked up one, looked at it, put it back, picked up the other one. And now you're going to go nuts with the Purell, which is fine. But who went nuts with the Purell with all the brats? Who's chopping all the onions? Who was chopping all the peppers and all the stuff that's in with the brats? It's all over the place. The idea that you pick the one thing you can control in this environment that you can't control. When you go eat, you go drive through at In-N-Out or Taco Bell, you can't control any of that.
You don't want to think about
it. But then you're Purelling before you pick up the burrito or after you set down the burrito. Fine, you can control this one thing, which is 1% of it. Everything else, all the food, all the processing, all the whatever, the flour for the tortillas and the rat feces that was in it or whatever, you can't control any of that. And yet there's just one little part you can control, and we go nuts controlling that one little part. And I know that's 1%, so who cares? Other people go, if I do it fast enough and rub on enough Purell, it'll be like controlling the universe.
Thing, yes.
It's dumb. It's superstitious, native thinking. All right. Thanks, Brett. We got,
we'll be at your funeral with the van.
That's right. Yeah, the van will be broke down. Brian, 31, Buffalo.
Hey, Adam, Gino, Bald.
What's going on?
Get it on.
Yeah, man.
Not much. I got a really important question I want to ask you guys. But first, Adam, I just wanted to kind of thank you. I'm not going to read you guys my two-minute prepared statement, but I just wanted to tell you that, you know, like, I've been listening to this show for many years now. I started when I was probably about, like, 22 in an office job, really, like, no direction in life. And I think, you know, kind of as you say, or have, as I've heard you say, you listen to other people when you're working construction and stuff, and it kind of helped get you motivated. You know, maybe people act as a role model in a way towards you. And you are that to me, and I think a lot of the other listeners. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Thanks, Brian. We appreciate it. It's always weird, too, when you've been podcasting for a while, that people are in their 20s and listen, now they're in their 30s. What's the question?
So I travel a lot for work, you know, and I'm in airport to do a lot of, like, people watching and stuff. And one day it kind of occurred to me, looking at this, like, a group of large people. I won't say from what area, but it occurred to me that I thought this group of people has, like, the worst haircut. And then so I was around a couple of my friends later on that weekend. I asked them that, and then, like, appallingly different responses from everybody. So I wanted to call in to the show. You'll get the true answer from you.
What group are you saying?
I thought it was Asians, but I thought it'd be interesting to kind of take a poll of you, Gina, involved.
Worst haircut. What ethnic group and haircuts? Obviously, the blacks are the most entertaining.
I was going to say, by far.
The most entertaining. And when there's stuff, see, when a white guy does a mullet, it's not entertaining.
Mm-mm.
But when a black guy does something crazy, it's entertaining.
Like relaxer.
Whatever it is. Right. It's always entertaining.
Stylish. So
the blacks obviously have the most range. And one could even argue that it's the most insane, but it falls under entertaining for me.
Yeah, because they can do dreadlocks, whereas a white guy would look ridiculous with the dreadlocks.
Yeah. And it's like you got Cat Williams on one end. And then you got Don King on the other. One hair's going down, the other hair's going up.
Straight to heaven.
They both work. They're both going to heaven. So I'm going to remove black people from the equation.
Okay.
And I'll say black people just like hats. A white guy can't wear a felt hat. Black guy
can.
Good luck.
Good luck, Whitey.
Good luck.
All right, if Jew is considered an ethnic group, then I'm going Jew all the way.
I'm with you.
Jew with the
worst haircut.
I was thinking, looking out at the sea of people in high holidays in the synagogue, I'm with Brian.
Interesting. So we're going Jew.
Is that on the table?
I don't know. Is Jew on the table?
I don't know. I did not even consider
it. All right,
Jew.
Let me get into this. The Jews have the worst because the Jews have my hair. They have the kinky hair.
Nappy.
And the Jews, especially if you go back and look at, like, bar mitzvahs in the in the 70s and the 80s, the guys have the thick, kinky, nappy hair. Also, because it's 1977, you have to have long hair. Yeah. But also, they're like parting it over
to the side.
They're trying to get hair to do stuff that their hair shouldn't do.
Nature didn't intend.
It's all. I'll tell you what the Jews are.
Here we go.
Season 4 of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, that's now, no compliment.
My hair is like season 1, straight hair. All the boys had straight hair. Yep. Season 3 and 4, or maybe 2 and 3, puberty started kicking. It started getting kinky, and they started looking like combing it down. It got all weird. By season 5, they all had froze. Yep. They all had naturals. Yeah. So that same thing happened to my hair. So the Jews, especially the businessmen and stuff, they try to comb it over and mash it down. It's too kink. It's too thick.
Jewish in a walk for me.
I'm looking at Chris. I'm going to go Filipinos.
Ooh. How dare you?
There's nothing. There's like one. You guys have a half a haircut between the entire male population. Like it's the exact same hair. Like it doesn't change. It's super practical. Okay. Not a lot of range. Yeah. And just the same haircut times the entire population.
If we're going for just limited options, I'm going to go like Samoan, specifically Islanders. All you got is that long, you know, the long curly Palomalu hair.
Trying to think. I feel like there's a lot of shaved heads in that.
Well, okay, shaved heads across every possible
region. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I don't feel like see, my thing with the Filipinos, like they all just have that.
And Joe Coy!
That. Yeah, but still, he's Chinese. Didn't you hear him? Oh, yeah. He works at the PF Chang's.
You know what?
They don't let.
It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Well, you lose your hair, you shave it. But I'm saying, I feel like Filipinos all have the same haircut.
Yeah.
I feel like every male
Chris
has the same haircut.
That's correct.
To be fair, Chris doesn't really have a haircut.
That's all I'm saying.
It just does its thing.
Well, you guys, you start off as a disadvantage because Dawson's hair is quite a bit different than my hair. So we're going to have different hairstyles. We have to.
Not in ethnicity, but if we're just talking groups, gingers, especially male, like redheads. I've yet to see a good example.
Getting back to ethnicity, have you ever looked at like German people our age and how they don't really look like they fit in? I think collectively,
that's the most racist thing I've ever seen on the show.
Collectively, shoes and Germans shades have some really bad haircuts.
Shoes and shades. That's frames.
Yeah.
And something weird on their shoes that gives it away. That weird off-brand tennis shoe that's
bright
expensive.
Colors,
or weird buckly thing or something.
Boot,
there's a weird boot. It's at the top and at the bottom. It's not in the middle. It's at the top and the bottom. The Germans have a frame. They have frames and they have
a
the
square
shoes.
Toe, buckle,
yeah,
boot.
Right. All right. Hold on.
Thank you for the riveting question, Brian.
Brian?
Yeah. My friend's answer was Mexicans. And I had this theory because you know, Asians and Mexicans, they both have that kind of hair. It's kind of like poofy. It goes like straight out.
Yeah.
They're not really always worried about getting their haircuts. You know,
no.
Asians are always
Hold on.
Chris doesn't have a care in the world.
You know, it's kind of like,
I'll tell you about the Mexicans because I work with these guys. They can't afford, and I don't mean afford. I just mean the hair is like a crate. To do your hair like the white guy with dreads, that's not a working dude.
No.
Like when you work,
that's
you have to have practical hair for your work.
Yeah. Out the door.
And so many of these guys out here work in like the construction field and stuff like that. And I can tell you when you work in the construction field, when it's hotter and shit and you're in Canoga Park and stuff, you can't do the big crazy hair, the dreads. You do dreads, it'll get caught up in a drill motor when you're mixing up stucco.
Tears of a combine.
Yes. Mm. There's a certain practical thing. It's basically hair is almost like fingernails. Like you can't have long fingernails and really work for a living. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of Hispanics in this town with crazy long hairdos and stuff like that.
Redlocks means downtime.
Right. Right.
Hold on.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Last one. And we'll bring in Representative Richard Martin. Ohio Congressman Ruben, 25, El Paso.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Ruben, how's your hair?
You Mexican guy with regular hair?
I'm a Mexican guy with, pretty regular hair.
Okay, what's going on?
Yeah. So I thought of this game, and I thought it would be great for the show. And
let's hear it.
If you guys want to play it.
Let's hear it.
It's called Guess the Joker. So I say a joke that a comedian said either through Twitter, TV appearance, roast, whatever, and I give you a list of comedians and you guys guess it.
Okay.
Guess how high their that. Energy level was?
We'll guess the who oh, said the oh, joke
okay,
originally.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, Ruben. This is the first one. Steve-O is trying stand-up comedy. I actually saw your performance at the Comedy Cellar. Here's some free advice. Don't give up your suicide.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Is
this is a good delivery.
This is a joke somebody from a comedian.
Either tweeted it or roasted somebody.
Comedy Cellar's in Denver, huh?
Do we get a multiple choice?
Yeah, we got a multiple choice.
So this was either Jeff Ross, Anthony Jeselnik, or Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay. I have a guess. Okay. I'm going Jeselnik.
I was going to do that too, but I'll say Jeff Ross.
I'll go Jeselnik then, because it's not Amy Schumer.
Yeah, that was Jeselnik.
Okay.
All right.
That's fun.
All three of us wanted to do him. Keep going, Ruben.
All right, this one's probably a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
When you don't drink, people.
Hmm? Yeah.
Go ahead.
When you don't drink, people always want to know why. Like, you don't drink, why? This never happens with anything else. You don't use mayonnaise? Why? Are you addicted to mayonnaise? Is it okay if I use mayonnaise?
Uh-huh.
All right. That's kind of funny.
All right. So is that Jim Gaffigan, Patton Oswalt, or Mitch Hedberg?
Ooh. Could be Mitch.
It we does love sound all like, those guys.
Sounds like Gaffigan.
Sounds like Gaffigan to me, too.
Yeah, I'll just say Hedberg to be different.
Yeah, that is Jim Gaffigan.
Okay.
All right. Well, so far, me and Gina and Brian as well. I mean, we picked two different ones, but so far we're in. All right, one more.
All right. This is a short one.
Okay.
They call gambling a disease, but it's the only disease where you can win a bunch of money. Uh-huh. Is that Norm MacDonald, Gilbert Gottfried, or Brian Posehn?
Oh. Feels Norm.
It's got to be Norm.
Norm does gamble
all
a
right,
lot.
I'll go Posehn.
That is Norm MacDonald.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Ruben, thanks, Ruben. Fun.
He wants to call it Guess the Joker, but it should be called Ruben Ruins Your Set.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I knew I was going to.
No,
no, it's
you
good.
Did a great
you
job.
Good, Ruben.
Brian, you please.
Good. You were good.
Yeah, that's good.
I have a cold right now. I would have rather Gary read the jokes.
No, you didn't.
No, wait, no you did a great
it's
job.
All in the delivery.
Yeah, picture a Mexican Stephen Wright who did other people's material.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe you.
Yeah. Can you say that the convenience store isn't open 24 hours in a row?
The convenience store isn't open 24 hours in a row.
It's
good. All right. Let's see. Richard Martin is here. We'll bring him in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe, man. Getting a good night's sleep. Oh. Easier said than done, especially if you hear the noises downstairs. What are you going to do in that situation? Turn the lights on? Stay up all night? Sleep with one eye open? How about this? You get Simply Safe, knowing your home and family are protected and secure with Simply Safe. A little peace of mind. Simply Safe's a complete security arsenal with motion sensors, glass break sensors, high definition security cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. Order it online in just minutes. Then a couple days later, it'll show up at your doorstep. Pop open the box, plug it in, peel and stick, up and running, 24/7 protection. No wiring, no contracts, no hidden fees. Simply Safe, super easy. SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Get 10% off. Come on, New Year's coming around. You're going to have all those packages and all those gifts at your house under the tree. SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Get your 10% off. All right, quick break. Little good sports. Right back with Ohio Congressman Richard Martin right after this.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping Hawker.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here.
Adam Carolla there, Ace. We got to pick it right back up where we left off yesterday. The Liquids of Evil. You are win play showing these. These are three liquids that you hate. And the one that you put in first position, you must drink at least 4 or 5 times every week for the rest of your life. The one in second position, once every 3 months. The third one, you never have to have pass your lips ever again.
And all calorically
right,
the same.
All even, right, on that count.
I'm going to go number one, Mountain Dew, and not because of the taste. No, well, obviously, this is a horrible Sophie's choice of liquids, but
except Mountain Dew. Except they have to go in you instead of away from you forever.
That's right. It's Mountain Dew, mainly based on that Super Bowl commercial they had from like 4 years ago. It's like, monkey, baby, baby, monkey. Remember the most revolting?
It's
like,
amazing.
They made a commercial that was more repugnant than their actual product, which is hard to do. It'd be like Holocaust, the commercial, and everyone went like, the Holocaust was bad, but that commercial, oh my God.
It is terrible, but then again, the old
what
one,
was
do
that?
It! And so, somehow that you would be imbued with physical activity if you drank Mountain Dew. Was all, like you're out with the cutoff jean shorts and swinging on a rope out into the lake.
What was that monkey, baby, baby, monkey
I'll
Mountain
be honest,
Dew
I never,
commercial.
You know what's weird? Since I started working at the NFL, I have been spared or at least deprived of all the commercials because I'm at the game. So I never see what these commercials look like.
2010 or something? Or
Super Bowl 45.
Was
Packers
it?
Packers over the Steelers. That was
2010?
No good. Yeah.
All right, I'll let you watch it. No, wait, go back.
I've never seen this before.
Well, don't stop it.
I might go ahead. Just chill tonight.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby. It has a weird sexual tone to it.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Mountain Dew Kickstart. Dew, juice, caffeine.
Puppy monkey baby.
What in the hell?
What
the hell just happened?
This says 2016.
Could have been.
And I remember it being a little
thought,
more recent.
I thought it was all. Well, I feel.
Super Bowl 50, it says, is where it premiered. February 7th, 2016.
So 2 years ago. Broncos, Panthers.
Who knows? I thought I was over at Kimmel's house when I saw that. His old house or whatever. It's insane. Insanely, like, weird. Like, first off, hold on. You have the ratio all screwed up. You got two black guys and one white guy. It's always supposed to be two white guys and one black guy on a sofa. If you're sitting on a sofa, when guys are sitting around watching a game,
progressive
now
game.
You're bucking with the time-honored tradition of two white guys, one black guy, non-threatening black guy. Okay, now you got two black guys and one white guy. Now it's confusing. What's this guy? Who's he holding the space for? So that's number one. Number two, when you're 24-year-old slacker dudes, a baby's not the greatest thing ever. A puppy's kind of fun. A monkey's cool when you're a 24-year-old slacker dude. A puppy's fine, but a baby's a big... That's a mistake.
I think we've just walked ourselves into another win play show for Ace.
That's an obligation. Then when the puppy monkey baby gets on top of the white guy and starts licking his face, it takes a turn for the sexual and the macabre.
Yeah, his two pals get up and leave the room. Give him some privacy.
That's right.
What? I love the idea that was people whose jobs it is to come up with the ads,
ideas.
And that's what they came up with.
It's more for me. It's not the
escaped
mental patient that initially came up with the puppy monkey baby.
Yeah, I hear
it's you. The person who sat at the other end of a mahogany desk in Madison Avenue on like prime real estate and went, well, when can we get into production?
It was it was one of those things. That happens in many, many movies and TV shows over the course of our lives, which is, so here's what it is. It's monkey, puppy, baby. And then everybody just turns to the CEO at the end of the table and he's emotionless. He's expressionless. And then he just goes.
Slow clap.
I can shed some light as to how this abomination.
I'd like to know how that thing got going.
All right,
I like the sitcom where the guy at the end of the desk goes, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then they go, Stevens, I told you it was the word. I love it. And then everyone goes, nuts.
that's what I was going for. I not the like applause. That. You cleaned that up for me.
Thank you.
So that ad was a promotion for Mountain Dew Kickstart, which is described as a combination of three things being Mountain Dew, juice, and caffeine. So they took three things that the internet loves and combined them.
They said it in the commercial, but it's still hard to look at.
But Ace is exactly right. The internet as a whole is one thing, but 24-year-old fellas do not sit around and love the monkey videos, and they don't sit around loving the pup videos, and they certainly don't care about the baby videos.
It was the number one spot of the Super Bowl advertisements that year.
Well, the number one spot, I don't know how you...
Says who?
This says
committee. It's certainly the most talked about.
Right. Says iSpotTV, which has stats of 2.2 million online views and 300,000 social media interactions.
Right. It's how bad is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what got
did now, you see that? Right. You just proved it by adding one to that total.
They made a big mistake, too, with Puppy Monkey Baby, which is they should have used the head of a golden retriever or blonde lab. They used a pug head that almost looks like a monkey. It looks like a strain of monkey. So it doesn't look like Puppy Monkey Baby. It looks like Monkey Monkey Baby. It looks like a small monkey. You can't. All it does is look weird. If you want to do puppy, you got to get a golden retriever or blonde lab.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Puppy Monkey Baby. They got the baby half part from the waist down. They got the monkey part right, but they put the smallest dog with the weirdest head that reads actually more monkey than puppy.
It's funny because I almost just said, and without any irony, I almost just said, yeah, but if you did put a golden lab head on top of that, it would look creepy. I really was thinking, well, then it would be all, never mind.
All right.
Go ahead. Lay it on us then, Ace. By the way, Mountain Dew, again, it was a clever play and I resent it, but the fact that they made it the color of Gatorade to dupe people into thinking it was some sort of pseudo health beverage.
Yes.
I gotta say I'm surprised at the choice of Mountain Dew, mostly for the social stigma. The other two you could get away with drinking in front of other people without them knowing, but Mountain Dew is electric green. You're not hiding that.
Yep. All right, I'm going to put the French vanilla second, and I'm going to put the passion fruit third. And again, it's really tough to rationalize or justify any decisions based on any of these horrible liquids.
I just want to make sure. The passion fruit, you're going to drink 4 or 5 times a week.
No, I got Mountain Dew number one.
Oh, it's number one. That's going to be it. You're going to drink the Dew?
I know it flies in the face
of
my puppy monkey.
You're going to do the Dew for the rest of your life?
It flies in the face of my puppy monkey baby thing.
I love it. I'm sad for you because, as it turns out, this was the Win Play show that you actually have. All right, real quick, tag us, tag this little episode up here. Go ahead. Monkey, puppy, baby. Win Play show. You get to see one every day, one every 3 months, and the other one you never will see again.
Monkey seems fantastic until they pull your best friend's face off,
right,
and you're screaming, you know, and to the 911 operators, nothing I can do. So that's that.
You don't want the monkey, right?
It seems cool, like in episodes of Friends and stuff, but no, I don't want Marcel running
kids
around
are
my
nice,
house.
But you don't need to see them every week.
I got to tell you, the puppy is quietly more trouble than a kid in its own weird way, which is when we had Phil, our lab, you know, you go into this thing thinking a puppy, like a kid's a kid, and so a puppy's going to land somewhere between a kid and an end table in terms of difficulty or responsibility, which you don't realize is A, they chew everything all the time, everywhere. And if you live with two kids, meaning Natalia and Lynette, you're going to get stuff chewed. Now, Sonny got real smart real fast with the ball caps and the flip-flops and everything up top. Those guys would be victimized by Phil all the time. And I'd be like, you have to shut your bedroom door. It was shut. It wasn't latched. I know, you have to latch it. You have to latch. This is like Lynette. But he ran roughshod over all of it, and they'd be screaming, like, he got my slipper! He got my fleece-lined slipper! I was like, yeah, you have to shut. Yeah, I left the door open. I just went to the corner. And it's like, you have to. So he.
Why didn't the puppy understand that I was just stepping out for a moment?
Just stepping out, right. So the puppy not only dukes all over the place, not only chews everything, then causes countless arguments. Then you do this move where you hire a trainer, but the trainer is basically a trainer is like he'll push the car with you and then he'll break off and go get into his car and drive away. If you don't keep pushing the car just takes a roll
and
stops.
That's absolutely right. It's one of the most dubious professions out there, right up there with dream analysis.
Well, the other thing, too, is like Lynette be like, but do you see how Phil respects and listens to the trainer? He has a fanny pack filled with chicken parts. Of course Phil is paying attention. Like if I walked around with a bucket of chicken parts, I'd have Phil's attention as well. The thing is telling him to sit with minus the chicken parts I have on me is a non-starter. So in a weird way, the kids, for me, much less trouble than Phil, because as far as kids go, you throw money at that problem.
Mm.
You hire a night nurse and you get the nanny and all of a sudden you just hang out with them and have fun and then pass them off to the nanny again. The dog, you can't have somebody move in. There's no night nurse. There's no anything. And then you don't realize, like, what happens, especially when you're living with a woman. Like, I want to go see a movie Saturday night. Well, what are we going to do with Phil?
Right.
We'll put him in the cage. Oh, we can't leave him in the cage. He's crying. Listen to him cry. No, we'll put him in the room, and we'll put the barrier up, and you know, then he chews the mattress up.
Boy, you know what? It's hard for me to argue, although I might go puppy one. No, the kids go one. Very well done there, Ace. All right, we'll be back with another episode of Good Sports for you on Podcast One Sports tomorrow. For now, it's been a thin slice of heaven. Good Sports.